And now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade. But first, I want to congratulate all you women who've recently changed to new, creamier Crisco. Now, I'll bet your family will be mighty happy about it, too. Well, there just isn't anything that can beat a Crisco cake when it comes to lightness and downright goodness. And as for Crisco pies and delicious fried foods, well, that's when the men folks really begin to cheer. Now, I'm sure there may be a few of you who've been putting off trying new Crisco, and if that means you, I want you to listen closely. If you haven't tried new Crisco yet, if you haven't discovered what a grand help the new Crisco can be in your cooking, then right now is the time to do so. For the makers of Crisco are offering you double the cost of your ingredients if you don't agree that new Crisco is the best shortening you ever used. Now, you wonder how we dare make this offer. Well, if Procter & Gamble weren't 100% confident of the new Crisco, they couldn't make such a guarantee. But they know that the new million-dollar gyro-churn process makes new Crisco wonderfully creamy, faster mixing, easier to use. And they know what delicious cakes, flaky pie crust, digestible fried foods this new creamier Crisco can give you. But make a big, luscious apple pie for dinner, or anything else you want, using new Crisco. Then, if you don't agree that new Crisco is the best shortening you ever tried, I want you to do this. Send us a complete list of all ingredients, the quantities used, the cost of each, and a Crisco label or wrapper. Address Crisco, Box 687, that's Box 687, Cincinnati, Ohio. And that's all. There'll be no questions asked, no arguments. Procter & Gamble will simply send you double the cost of all ingredients used if you don't agree that new Crisco is the best shortening you ever tried. But try new Crisco today for any cake, pie, or fried food. This offer closes July 1st, 1939. Well, sir, it's late afternoon as our scene opens now. And here, walking along the alley toward the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. Victor Gook and his son, Mr. Rush Gook. The gentlemen are returning home from Tatman's vacant lot, where the latter apparently enjoyed a brilliant career at third base. For he's saying,
I had 3 putouts in a row to my credit in the 4th inning, and 3 in a row in the 5th. Talk about your red-hot corner. Third base was sure the red-hot corner this afternoon. I must have handled 20 separate and distinct grounders.
You were wonderful, all right.
Well, you saw me.
Yes, I did. And I couldn't help muttering to myself, he's wonderful. That man is wonderful.
Did you happen to be looking when I scooped up Bluetooth Johnson's wallop?
I don't...
It took a crazy bounce. Hit a rock or something. Anyway, it acted like it was going to go foul. But I was on my toes. I wasn't taking any chances. I stuck out my gloved hand and threw my body sideways.
Somebody sitting on our back porch.
Mom, stuck out my gloved hand, see, and threw my body sideways. I might have broke my neck, but I stopped that ball. Rooster Davis paid me quite a compliment. He sauntered over from his shortstop position and patted me on the back. That's feeling, old apple fella, he says. Rooster Davis very seldom hands out compliments. I was flattered. Why, the last time...
Hi,
Mom. Why, the last time that guy ever handed anybody a compliment was way back in 1935. It just so happened...
What's your mother got in her lap?
I don't know. Way back in 1935. It just so happened...
What you got in your lap, Corporal Stanwood?
Come here and see.
Way back in 1935. The last time Rooster Davis handed anybody a compliment was way back in 1935. It just
Did
so happened...
Did you have a when you were coming along the alley?
No.
Must have turned off on Kelsey.
He did. I noticed his wheelchair way up the block.
Grandpa paid me quite a visit. Only just left about 10 minutes ago.
I see you've also been at home to Mrs. Harris.
Why?
Ain't that a Christmas card sample book there in your lap?
Uh-uh.
No?
This is Grandpa Snyder's Christmas card sample book.
Don't tell me he's in the business.
He's in the business, and he's worse than all the rest of the people trying to sell me Christmas cards combined. Gets mad and shouts when you try to get out of buying.
Well, this is the same identical Christmas card sample book as Miss Harris has got.
Sure. Miss Harris and Grandpa Snyder are both representatives for the same company.
The Toledo concern?
Yeah. The outfit that gives you a free parking space for your automobile and your initials in your hat if you buy enough merchandise.
Mind if I look, Ma?
No, sit down. Help yourself.
Grandpa makes one more trying to line you up for Christmas cards.
Yes.
How many are there altogether?
I'd hate to count them.
They're certainly all enterprising salesmen. The summer ain't even set in yet. One generally associates Christmas cards with icy blasts and snow.
Here's a familiar one.
Huh?
Give me a kiss and make me feel fine. This is Christmas 1939.
Uh-huh.
Miss Harris has got it for sale.
Miss Harris has got all these for sale. Like I say, her and Grandpa represent the same company.
Wash off that dirty neck of yours and wipe away that sneer. I'm wishing you and your family a prosperous new year.
I will be, George. I want to look, too.
You've seen them all, Vic. They're exactly like the ones in Miss Harris's sample book.
Well, didn't you tell Grandpa you had dealings with a party connected with the same Christmas card company he works for?
Try to tell him something he don't want to hear sometime.
How do you mean?
He pretends to be deafer than he is.
Yeah?
Soon as he wheeled his wheelchair here by the porch and produced his sample book, I said, oh, lands, Grandpa. Miss Harris across the alley sells them kind of Christmas cards. He put that black tin horn up to his ear. What? He says. What? I repeated my remark several times, but all he said was what.
Say, that's not a bad idea.
No, good idea. If I ever try to sell something, I'm going to pretend I can't hear. The person you're trying to do business with won't bring up any objections if you can't hear his objections.
Very true.
Give me a kiss, old girl of mine. This is Christmas 1939.
Give me a kiss while it's snowing and sleeting, and accept this heartfelt holiday greeting.
Darn Christmas card company runs that give me a kiss business in the ground. The verses on half the cards in there start off that way.
Give me a kiss full of Christmas time joys. Santa Claus is coming with candy and toys.
Give me a kiss to remember, my dear. And don't forget, December 25th is for the holiday cheer.
Now, who could a person send cards like that to except their sweetheart or somebody? A family like us certainly wouldn't order 2 or 3 dozen of them and mail them to friends and acquaintances.
Mm-mm.
Like Mr. Buller and Y.Y. Flirch and them.
Here's one for Mr. Buller. Give me a kiss and then go away. I'm listening for Christmas bells on Santa Claus' sleigh. Here's one for Y.Y. Flirt. Give me a kiss before I get mad. A prosperous New Year.
Oh, stop.
What?
Quit reading them silly things.
Okay.
Well, how come Grandpa left the sample book, say? Why didn't you make him take it away with him?
I tried.
Get away
hard
with
enough.
Him.
But he made out like he couldn't hear what I was saying.
Same stud, yeah?
Sure. Lance, I was almost screaming. I says, Grandpa, there's absolutely no sense in you leaving your sample book here. We can't possibly give you an order. All he done was hold that trumpet up to his ear and say, what?
Well, could he hear your other remarks?
Oh, sure. I said, Grandpa, how's everyone at home? He said, just fine. I says, the girls both feeling well? He says, Mabel's had a little cold, but she's about over it. I says, are you warm enough out here? He says, very comfortable, thanks. I got a vest and 2 wool sweaters underneath my coat. I says, I'm afraid I can't buy any Christmas cards off you. He says, what? I'm afraid I can't buy any of your Christmas cards, Grandpa, I says. What? He says, what?
Kid, you old rooster.
You bet. He hears just what he wants to hear and nothing else.
Here's a page of samples that haven't got that give me a kiss feature.
Hmm?
Give me a hug.
Ah.
Sure. Give me a hug, old girl of mine. This is Christmas 1939.
Oh, my.
Give me a hug while it's snowing and sleeting, and accept this heartfelt holiday greeting.
The same verses, only it's changed to hug, huh?
Yeah. Give me a hug before I get mad. A prosperous New Year.
It's difficult to work up the true Christmas spirit during this summer weather. I need icicles.
Here's a verse I haven't seen before. Give me a hug for Christmas time's sake. If I don't receive presents, I'll jump in the lake.
You made that up.
Oh, look for yourself. Right here, all lettered in tinsel. Give me a hug for Christmas time's sake. If I
That's
don't receive...
out and out crazy.
Yeah.
The worst thing about Grandpa being here with his sample book was Miss Harris saw him.
Huh?
She stepped out on her back porch to water her plants and glanced over this way.
She probably didn't suspect Grandpa was a competitor of hers in the Christmas party.
Yes, she did. She spotted the sample book.
Oh, you know.
I could tell.
Which a long distance from her porch, Greta.
Listen, now, I tell you what she done. She put down her sprinkler and turned this way and stared with her hands on her hips.
Well, that don't prove anything.
Sure it does. Well, I wouldn't be surprised but what our voices carried over to her house. Mine could have easy enough. I was shouting. I'm afraid I can't buy any Christmas cards from you, Grandpa, I hollered. Why, I'll bet my necktie she heard me.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Give me a hug, you saucy minx. Old Santa Claus.
I just didn't do anything with Grandpa. Almost got myself hoarse trying to explain. Grandpa, I says, I can't give you an order. My next-door neighbor, Miss Scott, sells Christmas cards. Miss Harris across the alley sells Christmas cards. My sister in Carberry, Illinois, sells Christmas cards for the church treasury. Even my little boy sells Christmas cards. The children make them up at high school there. I might just as well have been talking to the garbage box. He sat in his wheelchair with his darn old trumpet to his ear and said, what?
Very brainy, old geezer.
We'll see.
Give me a hug or I'll kick your father. Holiday time.
Heard everything else I said. I says, Grandpa, we don't see much of you around Virginia Avenue these days. He says, I've been spending most of my time over on Clinton Boulevard. They're tearing up the street. I says, I read in the newspaper where it stated Bueller took a trip to Detroit, Michigan. He says, yes, visited a girl she went to business college with and her husband. But when I said, Grandpa, Miss Harris across the alley has got these same kind of Christmas cards for sale, it was a different story. What? He says, what? So now I've got this sample book to worry about.
And a brand new Christmas card salesman breathing his hot breath down your neck.
Yeah.
Back to kisses again here.
That's so.
Give me a kiss or I'll telephone the police. May the blessings of Christmas never cease.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Now, attention, please. I want to repeat the liberal offer you heard at the beginning of this program. Procter & Gamble asks you to try new, creamier Crisco in anything you use shortening for. Yes, make up a grand light cake or the family's favorite pie or any kind of fried food. And if you don't agree that new Crisco is the best shortening you ever tried, Procter & Gamble will send you double the cost of all ingredients used. Yes, if the new Crisco isn't the best shortening you ever tried, just send us a list of all ingredients, the quantities used, the cost of each, and a Crisco label or wrapper. Address Crisco, Box 687, Cincinnati, Ohio, and we'll send you a check for double the cost of all ingredients used. But try new Crisco today for any cake, pie, or fried food. This special guarantee offer is good only until July 1st, 1939. This is Ralph Edwards speaking.